and ye shall be an execration, and an astonishment, and a curse, and a reproach, and ye shall see this place no more. The Lord has said concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day. Now watch this, verse 20. Watch this. This is how people can be now. He said, for ye dissembled in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, pray for us unto the Lord our God, and according unto all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it. And now I have this day declared it to you, but ye have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he hath sent me unto you. Now therefore know certainly that ye shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, in the place whither ye desire to go into sojourn. Chapter 43, verse 1 says, and it came to pass. Now watch this closely. This is the heart of people that are half-hearted and won't make up their mind to serve God and not the world. Verse 1 says, and it came to pass that when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people, all the words of the Lord their God, for which the Lord their God had sent to him, to them, even all these words, then spake Azariah the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan the son of Korea, and all the proud men, saying to Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. Now I noticed something. The other time Johanan was the point man, but this time in verse 2, Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan. Azariah was first, and Korea, and all the proud men. Sometimes people may have dedication, but that the dedication of Johanan was possibly killed by Azariah. They had it in their hearts what they were going to do when they came to Jeremiah. All right, he said, verse 3, but Barak the son of Neriah setteth thee on against us, for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives to Babylon. Now they're accusing, see. It's important to be steadfast and unmovable. Now they're about to go into captivity. I read verse 3 again. But Barak the son of Neriah setteth thee on against us, for to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. So, now watch verse 4. So Johanan the son of Korea, and all the captains of the forces, and all the people obeyed not the voice of the Lord to dwell in the land of Judah. Their heart is completely turned to do something beside what God said, though they said they'd obey him. But Johanan the son of Korea and all the captains of the forces took all the remnant of Judah that were returned from all nations, whither they had been driven to dwell in the land of Judah, even men and women and children, the king's daughters, and every person that Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Jeremiah the prophet, and Barak the son of Neriah. So they came into the land of Egypt, for they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Thus came they even to Tahpenes. Then came the word of the Lord. They didn't just go to Egypt. They took Jeremiah too. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah in Tahpenes, saying, take great stones in thine hand, and hide them in the clay. Hide them in the clay in the bricklin, in the brick kiln, which is at the entry of Pharaoh's house in Tahpenes, in the sight of the men of Judah, and say to them, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will set his throne upon these stones, that I have hid. And he shall spread his royal pavilion over them. And when he cometh, he shall smite the land of Egypt and deliver such as are for death to death, and such as are for captivity to captivity, and such as are for the sword to the sword. This man is going to do a surgical, precise operation. Verse 12. And I will kindle a fire in the houses of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captives, and he shall array himself with the land of Egypt. As a shepherd putteth on his garment, and he shall go forth from thence in peace. He shall break also the images of Beth Shemesh, that is in the land of Egypt, and the houses of the gods of the Egyptians shall he burn with fire. Now this happened. Verse 44, the word that came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews which dwell in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Migdal and at Tophanes and north country of Pathros, saying, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, ye have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem and all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein, because of their wickedness which they have committed to provoke me to anger. And they went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they knew not, neither they, ye nor your fathers. Howbeit I sent unto you all my servants the prophets early, rising early, and sending them, saying, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. Wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth and was kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, and they wasted and they are wasted and desolate as at this day. Therefore now, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls? Cut off from you man and woman. Wherefore, let me read verse 7 again. Therefore now, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling out of Judah, to leave you none to remain, and that ye provoke me to wrath with the works of your hands, burning incense to other gods in the land of Egypt, whether ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, and that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations of the earth. Have you forgotten the wickedness of your fathers, and the wickedness of the kings of Judah, and the wickedness of their wives, and your own wickedness, and the wickedness of your wives, which they have committed in the land of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem? They are not humble even unto this day, neither have they feared nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes, yet that I have set before you and before your fathers. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil to cut off all Judah. And I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, that they shall be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by famine. They shall die from the least even unto the greatest, by the sword and by the famine, and they shall be an execration and an astonishment and a curse and a reproach. For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt, as I have punished Jerusalem, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah, which are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, shall escape or remain, that they should return to the land of Judah, to the which they have desired to return to dwell there. For none shall return, but such as shall escape. I want to say something about the people that escape. Some people were taken against their will. None of the people that were taken, that went by their will, they all died there. But Some people had to go because of their parents or whatever. And the Lord always has a witness. Verse 15. That's just the wisdom of God. He's got a witness for it, all of this. In heaven, there will be witnesses that experienced this. Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by a great multitude, even all the people that dwell in the land of Egypt in Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, now watch this. As for the word that thou hast spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. This is like the lukewarm church right here, verse 16. This is the epitome of a lukewarm church. They will not budge. They were in the land, and they wouldn't stay. They went to Egypt against God's word. They always do. They break covenant. Wicked people cannot keep covenant. Verse 17. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the queen of heaven, and to pour out a drink offering unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers and our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. Now that's just like the lukewarm church. They're going to take the mark. People that take the mark, they think it'll be all right if we'll just bow down to Baal. Verse 18. What's the difference? We had plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. They don't know where their help came from. These are the same people that asked Jeremiah to go to the Lord and seek him on their behalf. Verse 18, but since we left off to burn incense to the queen of heaven and to pour our drink offerings unto her, we have lacked all things and have been consumed by the sword and by famine. And when we burned incense unto the queen of heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? Now these are the women talking. And Jeremiah said to the all the people, to the men and to the women, and to all the people that had given him that answer, saying, that the incense that ye burn in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers, your kings, and your princes. You see, this is why they went. The covenant breakers. I'm going to read that again. The incense that ye burn in the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem, ye, your fathers, your kings, and your princes, and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them, and came it not into his mind, so that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings, and because of the abominations which ye have committed? Therefore is your land, this is the reason your land is, therefore is your land a desolation. That's the reason for it. And an astonishment and a curse without an inhabitant as at this day, because ye have burned incense and because ye have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies. Therefore, this evil has happened unto you as at this day. Moreover, Jeremiah said to all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah, that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye, your wives, have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye shall surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. The Lord wished, remember something about him. He wished we were either cold or hot, one way or the other. I believe in being on fire for the Lord. I don't believe in being lukewarm or cold-hearted. I want my heart soft, and I want my heart to be dedicated to him. But see, he gave them, at this point, he gave them over to their own ways. He said, and you should surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. Verse 26, therefore hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah, that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall be no more named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt. Because they're corrupt, they're gone, they're not in the kingdom of God no more. Saying, the Lord liveth. Behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good. And all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine, and there shall, and until there be an end of them. Yet a small number that escape the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah, and all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose word shall stand, mine or theirs. And this shall be a sign to you, saith the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that ye may know that my word shall surely stand against you for evil. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophra, king of Egypt, into the hand of his enemies and into the hand of them that seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah to the king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy, and that sought his life. See, the Lord did this. And eventually the day came that Nebuchadnezzar came down there and set up camp right there where on those stones that Jeremiah prophesied. God's word came to pass. And it always does. And here it is, chapter 46. I'm reading these scriptures, and I normally skip the scriptures, and because people can read on their own. But this settles the account. This shows what God is doing. God is moving by spirit. He has to judge evil, folks. Now he keeps covenant to those who keep covenant, and he does judgment when he has to. And he'll rather bless everybody, but he can't take sin to heaven. Sin is destructive. Jeremiah 46. The word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Gentiles, against Egypt, against the army of Pharaoh, Necho, king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates in Carchemish, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, smote in the fourth month of Jehoiakim. Well, that's a different time, but Nebuchadnezzar did set up camp there. And the people saw it, but it was too late. Evil people will not keep covenant. As I was going to sleep last night, the Lord brought these things back to me. When people are cold-hearted, when their heart is to the world, they don't keep covenant. When even half-hearted people don't keep covenant, and they become something else. They become a people God can't trust. And people who trust the Lord, they don't have those. If you trust the Lord, you stay in faith. You're sticking with the plan. You're ever increasing when you trust the Lord. When you have faith in the Lord, you always win. But when you trust the Lord, you trust enables you to go where you normally would not go. Some things you'll believe God for because you trust him on it. That's the power of trust. Trust will take you beyond your normal. It will take you beyond what you normally would do or what you normally would choose. That's the power of trust. That's why we need it. And so, when the Lord wants them, let's say that God has blessed them in one city, they got their dream home, dream car, churches thriving, and the Lord wants them to go and start another ministry and live there. I've heard about people who went. They sold their house for the best price, and then went, and they were the lowest bidder on the house that they bought in the other place, you know. I heard about a guy, he was the lowest bidder on the house, but they sold him the house. And if I remember right, it may have been even debt-free. He may have been, you know, after he sold his house and bought that one. All the doors opened. The angels were activated. He was in faith. When you're in faith, your anointing is working. And the spiritual wealth that's already on your life is ready to go. Doors are open up, whatever you need. But you can't know that unless you go. Because that's where the people are that will benefit from the training that God has graced you with. See, God trains us not just to waste. He trains us for purposes. And God has people in strategic locations that will hear you. And he does. You can't judge a ministry by another ministry. Just like it's not, Paul said, it's not wise to judge yourself against others. Because if I'm over here doing what God told me to do, precisely like God tell me to do it, and another person is doing something God told them to do, it's going to look different, but it's going to be useful. It's according to the wisdom and knowledge of God, not man's wisdom, not my wisdom, and not his wisdom. It's the wisdom of God that's guiding us. There are different types of ministers. Some people have to work a job and preach. The Lord told me years ago, it's important for you to have your own business. See, tradition would have said, well, now that you're a preacher, you don't need to be working on cars anymore. And some people still think that way. And I thought, well, maybe I'm going to be preaching and not fixing cars. I thought that way. And the Lord said, no, it's my... I read Lester Sumrall's book about mighty men of God. It was called Pioneers of Faith. I finished it. I went to the beach. And I read the last few pages in the room when I went back to the room. I closed the book thinking about all these people that obeyed God all these years. I said, Lord, I need to get balanced. I need to get back to the center of your will. What's your perfect will for me? He says, it's my perfect will for you to have your own business. See, I had a business in 96. And when 95, I took a job. I closed the business and took a job. And then the job I retired from. And I was still working there. I said, well, should I quit my job and just go back in business? He said, right now, it wouldn't be wise for you to quit. But start your own business with it. So I did that. I obeyed him. And I had a full-time job and a business. So I'm really working two full-time jobs. I put a lot of hours in my business. And it grew and grew, and I was able to retire, and I got a business. I can make a lot, you know, I can do better than I did on the job. It depends on what I do, of course, and how much time I put in it. But in other words, I usually get more work than I can handle anyway. I never advertise. Since I've been in my first, I have never advertised. The only advertisement I ever done was business cards. I do a radio ministry and I never advertise it. I only do preaching on the right. I mean, if I advertise, I'd have cars all over the place. But the thing is, whatever God give you, that's what you got to deal with. You do it. God has a purpose. Well, other people don't have businesses. They preach and other people support them. How come that can't happen for me? I don't know. I mean, I don't. You do what you're told and it works. God graces you the way it should be. And God, you have a grace for what you do. And that's how the anointing works. The anointing has a jurisdiction and a time frame to work in. And so when you trust God, it works. And I love to support other ministers that are full-time. And God blesses my business. So the Lord, people are, in other words, whatever God tell you to do, do it. and do it with all of your heart. Don't do it half-hearted. You can't. Enoch told his sons, he gathered all his sons. He said, never be half-hearted. He said, love God wholeheartedly and never be half-hearted. Half-hearted is a leaven, and the enemy will pull your strings, and you'll never trust God like you're supposed to. And if you don't trust God, you can't learn what's next. So a lot of men of faith are not learning what they could be learning. But they can't tell because they're still doing fine. They know they master the art of faith. You can call it art, but they have that skill. Just like a man that knows karate, he can fight. So they have authority over the enemy. And many people, we have authority, and they know they have authority, but how many people have functional authority? They can be in a bad situation and still make the day. Think about it. Trust will take you wherever you need to go and help you build up whatever weaknesses. It'll help you destroy your weaknesses, hurts, and fears. You'll be the Lord. Following God, he takes you there where you need to be. See, people who look to the Lord, that were people who love God. They were dragged down to Egypt and they escaped because they knew the people were wrong. They believed the prophet. Their hearts were softened again. And they went back to Jerusalem. But see, hard-hearted people, God cannot. He cannot use them. And he definitely can't take them to heaven. And then they evaluate themselves much differently. In the church at Laodicea, their evaluation was opposite of Jesus' evaluation. When it kept bothering me, I said, Lord, what is it with the Laodicean? He said, they won't budge. Time went by, I still had questions about it. He said, they are tares. I said, oh. Just like the tribes of Judah, of Israel, it took them, they went, before they would repent, the duration of time and pressure was longer and longer to the point that even after judgment, they wouldn't repent. What the chapters I just read in Isaiah 40, 42 through 46. So consider these things. If you think that the Pharisees and the Jews who wanted Jesus dead, that was not the worst. It's never been a time like now. There are people who love the world so much that they, to the point of hatred against Christian people. The same spirit is on people of this generation. And they witness God build Christian nations and rise up. And there are tribes and people that hate America because we broke through. There are people that hate the Jews because they came back to their land and they're thriving. And the more they serve the Lord, there are Jews coming back to Jesus now. And they're untouchable. So when the Lord does the rapture, he's going to take all of his people out of his way so he can judge the earth. And Monday morning, the Lord said, I'm ready to fight. I was saying, whoa, it's finna happen. All right, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord.